rise and shine. It's a great day in the North Woods.
Welcome to another episode of the Camp Voyager podcast. I'm John Bergman. Today's episode is all about tradition. The whole concept of tradition has always been important at camp, precisely because camp is its own little world in a lot of ways. Campers and staff live and eat and play at camp. There's not really any TV watching that goes on at camp. There's not really any internet access for campers. Camp is like this self-contained, wonderful little society for a few weeks every summer. A little society of personalities, characters, inside jokes, trip stories. And so traditions are what tie those little summer societies of camp to the little summer societies of the past. Even that triangle ringing in the opening. Rise and shine! It's a great day in the North Woods. Hearing that every morning is a camp tradition. Traditions like that link generations of campers. They help give camp a heritage and a culture and a foundation. But there's one tradition that kind of rises above them all, and that's what we'll talk about today. The triangle ringing every morning, hot cereal being served at every breakfast, names being written on the plaques at the end of every summer. There are a lot of cool traditions at camp. But one of the most meaningful traditions is crossing paddles at the beginning and end of every canoe trip. If you're not familiar, crossing paddles is like a little ceremony in which everyone on a canoe trip, usually three or four canoes, comes together on the lake as they're embarking on their route. They stick their paddles in the middle, crossing paddles, as the name suggests, and everyone says a few words. It's sort of like a sports team huddling up before a big play, but in this case, the big play is the canoe trip itself. But as I said, crossing paddles is probably one of the most meaningful traditions at camp, because it's not just a hollow act. There's real purpose behind it. Here's what my co-host Alex Quanley has to say about it.
The reason we kind of do the crossing paddles is, one, to give your trip some direction. Like, some trips just want to put on miles, some just want to catch fish, others just want to see certain sights or waterfalls. So when you gauge your group's goals, you can kind of differentiate your trips and based on your goals. And a lot of times on trips, you don't always need to be like an educator. Like that saying, the mountain speaks for themselves, or the mountain speaks for itself, is like I think it was the founder of Outward Bound. He said that, and he's basically saying that you don't always need to, as a trip leader, you don't always need to point out everything and like teach things. You can just sit on the ledge and look at a view, and it kind of speaks for itself. The environment kind of speaks for itself on trips. So, but with that being said, the crossing paddles does help to provide some framework, and goal setting is an important trait or important skill, I guess, in life. It helps to hammer home a little bit some of the skills we're trying to learn or trying to teach at camp. And sometimes it teaches them that, hey, this was a successful trip. That's right, I did reach my goals.
You probably noticed Alex mentioning goals in there. And that's a huge part of crossing paddles. But if goal setting sounds a bit lofty, just think of it like establishing a bit of direction for the canoe trip, giving the trip a sense of purpose. And the reason that's important, and, well, the reason why we're devoting a whole podcast episode to this, is because there's a hope that campers will ultimately learn to apply the same principles of goal setting and goal assessment to other aspects of their lives. School, work, hobbies. Crossing paddles, as small of a tradition as it might be, provides a template. And camp believes so strongly in that, that if a canoe trip comes back to camp and they've forgotten to cross paddles at the end of their trip for whatever reason, the people on that trip will go down to the dock by the mess hall and cross paddles there. It's never too late. So what kind of goals are laid out during the crossing of the paddles? Well, here's Alex again explaining what he, as a counselor on a canoe trip, tries to do when crossing paddles.
I try as a leader, and we try to teach the counselors to make sure their campers' goals are specific, like that whole SMART acronym: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. We don't completely go through it formally like that, but I try to be like, don't just say, I want to have fun. Say more specifically, like, I want to catch 3 fish. I want to see Thunder Point, and I want to learn how to carry a canoe. Like, those are specific goals. And then as a trip leader, you try to gauge what your participants want to do, what your campers want to do based on those goals, and you try to hit those.
There are probably some people that have stumbled upon this podcast that aren't familiar with Camp Voyager at all. Maybe they just like to canoe in the Boundary Waters. And if that's the case, if you're listening to this and you don't have any connection to camp, totally feel free to start your own crossing of the paddles ceremony before and after your own canoe trips. But for everyone, new and old Camp Voyager campers, counselors, and canoeists alike, I'm sure we'd all rather be out starting a canoe trip right now than sitting indoors somewhere listening to a podcast. So close your eyes and let your imagination wander and envision that we're all embarking on a canoe trip together right now. I've asked Alex to lead us in a hypothetical crossing of the paddles. How would he frame it? What would he say? Where are we going on this hypothetical canoe trip? Let's say we're on a five-day trip, leaving from Snowbank Lake.
A 5-day starting at Snowbank. Well, I would get to that put-in, and that put-in is always windy, and it seems like it's always a headwind somehow, whether you're leaving the lake or whether you're entering or exiting at Snowbank. Seems like it's always windy. So I've actually had to cross paddles on the dock there because you don't want to just get blown into shore while you're crossing paddles. But let's just say it's calm. So we get into the lake, got our canoes loaded up, ready to go, and we cross paddles, and usually at a snowbank entry point, we're heading up to Knife Lake. So usually some of the goals, some of the campers are ones that want to see Knife Lake, and we know that ahead of time, even before we cross paddles. So usually their goals will be to see Knife Lake, to swim in it, because it's, you can see 20-25 feet down. We've had kids bring snorkels, so some want to snorkel Knife Lake. And then there's Thunder Point on Knife Lake, a nice overlook. There's the Isle of Pines, where Dorothy Moulters lived. She was the last living person in the Boundary Waters. Used to give out root beer to campers going by. sell Rupier, not give. So those were usually the goals on a snowbank trip. I'd say something like, all right, guys, this is where we cross paddles. For those of you who don't know, I'd like to hear something specific, like not just that you want to have fun, but what specifically you want to see or do or accomplish. I'll try to plan the trip around your goals. And then in 5 days, when we get to our exit point, we'll cross paddles again and go over our goals and whether we met them or not. So usually I have a personal goal of catching a few fish or helping some campers to catch some fish. And usually I have a goal of getting a bunch of photos of the kids doing certain things or videos, because I like to make a trip video after every trip. So I usually like to see them going efficiently over portages and helping out with some of the group chores, helping out with the meals. That's kind of all part of a successful trip.
And so, the paddles have been crossed. Off we go on our trip. I hope you're stoked, and I hope your goals are in sight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode.